good work, keeping us up to date and going in the right direction. It's so exciting. I get so excited about the Next Steps program because it, part of that process is gift discovery, spiritual gift discovery. And I tell you, there's nothing more exciting than doing something for which you have been created. And that part of that process is to help you discover what your spiritual gift is and then allow you an opportunity to begin to exercise that somewhere within the body and maybe something that's more tailor-made to your gifting. And that's so exciting. Nothing more fulfilling than to know that, feel like you're in the sweet spot of your life. Amen? Doing what you were created to do. Hey, we are cruising right along in John Nordstrom's sabbatical, and that things are going well, and we're happy for things that are taking place within their family and the wholeness that is taking place there. Glenda, so good to see you, and glad things are happening well in your life. God's in charge, isn't he? And we're thankful for that, and we're thankful that John is able to have some time away. He's been away since, what was it, March 30th, I believe, somewhere around there, and been about a six-month sabbatical, and he's been being refreshed and replenished and refocused and retooled to some degree, and we're thankful for that. That's what it's all about, and I truly am honored to be able to be an interim pastor, meaning I'm in the inter, between it all. That's where I am, an inter-I-am pastor. And so we're happy to be with you today, and thank you for your kindness and patience toward us, my wife and I. During this period of time, you have been responsive and encouraging to us, and we thank you very much for that. I think we got about four more weeks to go, and then we'll be seeing some transition back into Pastor John coming back into full swing. So be alert to that. We are in the Gospel Project and have been for a number of weeks, and right now we are just about halfway through, or into almost finishing the second year of Jesus' ministry, his 3.5-year ministry. And so we're happy that we're moving right along in this. And our whole goal is to look at the life of Jesus Christ in order. We're not going to cover every aspect of Jesus' life, but trying to go in chronological sequence of events in his life. Because once we look at his life and how his life was ordered, it does have a way of bringing order to our own life. And in such a mixed-up world at times, we just feel like there's nothing is regular, nothing is normal, nothing is stable. But we can look to the Word of God and we can look to the pattern of the life of Jesus Christ and say that he's normal, he's stable, he's my rock, and I build my life upon him. So that's what this series is intended to do, to give you some stepping stones, some foundation blocks to build your life on and around. So God bless you for that. Today we're going to begin by going to Mark chapter 7. If you would care to join us, Mark chapter 7, and we're looking at this experience that Jesus had as he traveled to the region of Decapolis. Now, Decapolis is just an area of about 10 cities that were typically non-Jewish in nature. They were, by the Jewish standard, they were considered pagans, godless, unchurched, so to speak, if you will. And they were far from God in many respects because they were leftovers from the from Alexander the Great and his generals that were given portions of the empire of Alexander the Great, and Decapolis was one of those areas that was divvied up and given to one of his generals. And so this area of 10 cities Jesus went to on a couple of occasions. Today in Mark 7, it's his return visit to the Decapolis. First one was to Gadara, where he encountered that man that was possessed by a legion of demons, and Jesus spoke the word to him, and the demons were sent into a herd of pigs, and into the sea they went and were destroyed. But now, Jesus comes back onto that scene after people have heard of his great, amazing power and the feats and acts that he does. And they brought to him someone. So let's read the scriptures from Mark chapter 7, verse 31. If you'd like to read along aloud, you're welcome to do so. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly hear. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute to speak." My, my. Here Jesus encounters, just arriving into the area, people brought to him this individual who was not able to hear a sound. Now, there's no indication to us as to how long he'd had this condition, whether he was born this way or this was a recent development in his life. It just doesn't give us that information. And so we're left to just kind of interpret it as it is. But I wonder today, if you were suddenly without hearing, What sounds would you miss the most? If you were without hearing, beginning now, what sounds would you miss the most? Children laughing. Birds singing. His wife's voice.
The rest of your sermon.
Okay, we trust it'll be worth hearing. Music. Your dog. All things that are important to us, right? Remember as a kid, we were in the neighborhood on our bikes or running everywhere and in the woods and in the prairie. And every once in a while, some of you who are my age will remember a Mr. Softy truck. Remember him? Soft serve ice cream truck. It was the first version of food trucks. And he would always have a little music playing. And in the middle of all of our imaginary play and cowboys, Indians, and explorers, and rough and tumble, running here, running there, and speed, as soon as that tone, we'd look at each other. And then we'd think, "Mr. Softy!" And then the next thought would be, "I'm going to talk to Dad." And so we'd pedal home and run home and burst in the house and said, "Dad, Mr. Softy's here! Give me 50 cents!" Yeah, 50 cents you could buy quite a bit back then. And Dad would say, "Okay." So he'd dig in his pocket and pull out 50 cents and give each of us 4 bits, as they used to say. 50 cents. And we would go satisfied. But it's just the sound of that music that ignited something inside of us. Isn't that right? So music, sound is a vital part of our sensory experience as human beings. And sometimes we would really miss the familiar voices and the childhood memories and so on that we have. Sound also gives us another aspect of situational awareness. Situational awareness. You know, sometimes you don't see things, but you hear things. You hear it before you see it sometimes. Like a jet going over. Sometimes, where is that sound coming from? You look over here, and the jet's over here. But it gives you a cue that something is overhead. How much we depend upon the use of our ears to help us interact with our world and with one another. Well, these people brought this man to Jesus and they begged him. They begged him to lay hands on him. They were earnest in their appeal. Perhaps it is in part parcel to the fact that these folks just really didn't understand the heart of Jesus, that he really didn't have to be begged. Just bring them to him. So they begged him to lay hands on him, and Jesus responded. And I love the response that Jesus, it's multifaceted, and I don't understand everything he did. I know he did these things and were not for show. They were not for show. They were not for show. But they were intended for some, to some degree, to minister to this individual man who was ailing and in this terrible plight. So Jesus does what? He takes him aside. He took him aside and away from the crowd. Now, I don't know all there is to know about those individuals. Maybe you're here today and have a hearing deficiency, or you are familiar with sign language, or you can read lips. I don't know all that there is about that. But Janesville, where I come from, is home to the Wisconsin School for the Blind. And the individuals here with visual impairments like that often look for transportation. And my job in recent years has been involved in transportation within the community of Janesville, and assistant director for the local city bus company and transportation needs of others. And I had come to know a lot of folks who were visually impaired. And one thing that I've heard from them is that just because I'm blind doesn't mean I don't know what's going on around me. And many times they'd say, we are very acute to our hearing. We compensate for our hearing. We compensate for our lack of visual acumen. We depend upon our hearing. And some of those individuals, though they could not see anything, knew where they were on the route much better than visual people. They would be able to sense the turns and the vicissitudes of the route, and they could tell you where we are. Sometimes they even needed assistance. And so we put in equipment that would announce what corner we're at to give assistance to those that were visually impaired. Now, where this man was with his hearing impairment, I'm not exactly sure. But my inclination is that he was probably, without hearing, more dependent upon his visual abilities. And he was very aware of his surroundings. And he was very aware of the crowd that was around him. And he was watching their reactions to see what was happening and what was taking place. And so Jesus purposely goes to him and takes him aside, pulls him aside, away from the crowd. And then he puts his fingers in his ears. Now, why would he do that? It's a mystery. But I would like to believe that it was because, though this man maybe even could read lips, but he was putting his fingers into the ears to give this young man, this individual, the understanding that this is only for you. Away from others' eyes, this is only for you, and I'm going to be ministering, or something is going to happen to your ears. And so Jesus put his ears in his fingers, and then he proceeded to put his fingers in his ears. Yeah, we don't want to do it that way. But he put his fingers in his ears, and then he spit on his finger and touched his tongue. Now, wouldn't do that during COVID. Wouldn't do that even today. But Jesus chose this method to minister directly to this man whose sensory abilities were altered, and he was trying to bring alignment and order to this man's life away from the busy crowd, away from darting eyes, and allowing himself to have an encounter with Jesus of his own. And it was in this particular situation where then we see Jesus looks to heaven. And I think he actually probably did that to indicate to the individual that something good is going to come down. Something good is about to happen. And so he looks to heaven, and then it says he sighed, a deep sigh. Up to that moment, it was just all about this man right here. But then Jesus looks to heaven, and with a deep sigh, have you ever sighed? Why would you sigh? I don't really think that Jesus was frustrated. I don't think he was inconvenienced. It wasn't that kind of sigh. But I believe it was the kind of sigh that said, oh God, I feel what this man feels. How long he has gone without hearing the voice of his loved ones. How long he has gone without being able to say the words that he wants to say. Oh, Father. You see, we do have a good spiritual overseer in Jesus Christ. He is a good Lord, a good high priest. Hebrews chapter 4 is a great source of direction and guidance for us about what was happening in the sigh that Jesus uttered over this man. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16. Therefore, since we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. Hold firmly to the faith we possess, we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable. Notice the double negatives. We could also say we do have a high priest who is able, right? Same, different words, same meaning. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Whatever you have experienced in your life up to this point in time, Jesus knows how you feel. Jesus knows how those things have impacted your heart, how they've impacted your vision for your life, how they've impacted your, how you see your future. Because what happens in the past sometimes has a way of affecting, oh, greatly what my future choices and steps are, my future options are. But Jesus, as a high priest, is able to understand where you've been and what you've experienced and how you've processed that, because he's been there, tempted just as we are, yet he was without sin. In other words, how do I go through difficult times without sinning? Watch Jesus. How do I go through challenging times and come out the other end with a positive outcome? Follow Jesus. Look at what he did. So let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, Jesus looks to heaven, puts his fingers in this man's ear, touches his tongue with his spit-on finger, and then he sighs as he looks up to heaven, because he's identifying with what this man has needed for so long. And then with just a single word, a one-word proclamation, Ephphatha, be opened. Suddenly, the King James Version says, the string of his tongue was broken and his ears were opened. With just a one-word command, Jesus did a marvelous work for this individual. You see, the crowds were overwhelmed by it, but you know, this was a proclamation of an Old Testament prophecy. What took place in this incident was a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 35. Let's look at that real quickly. Isaiah 35 says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. This was spoken 700 years before Christ encountered this man. But this is a proclamation made by a prophet of God that the deaf will hear, the mute will begin to speak and shout with joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Next verse. Is there a sixth? Verse 6? Oh, that is verse 6. Thank you. Yeah. So water is going to gush forth in those dry places of your life as a result of the care and oversight of a high priest Jesus Christ, who cares desperately for you. Praise God. We are in times right now of prayer, 21 days of prayer. This week's theme is faith for our lives. Faith for our lives. A lot of times we have a lot of plans for our lives, don't we? We have a lot of goals for our life. We have things pretty well mapped out for our life. But the key point for us is to have faith for our life, that whatever encounters we may have, because there's a lot of things you can make plans for, and there's many more things that you can't plan for. I know I've experienced a lot of unplanned events in my life. But the scripture gives us in Psalm 40, verses 9 and 10, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 40, verses 9 and 10, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips. Could I be mute by choice? Lord, as you know, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. Closing my heart, I'm capturing it all for myself, a secret encounter, a secret life. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I speak of it. Open my heart and open my mouth that I might share the goodness of God. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. I speak of it. I share it. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were arrested and put in jail, and they let them go the next day and inquired about them. And then they said, don't you ever say those words again about Jesus. Don't you ever teach about Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And Peter and John said, well, guys, we cannot but speak about what we have experienced. We cannot but speak about what we have experienced. And so God is calling for you and I to have faith for our life, that as things unfold, as things develop in our life and days come and days go, there's some stabilizing force in the fact that Jesus is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. We sang about that, the same God. He's the same God who will always be the same. So as this man experienced healing in his ears and in his speech, the Holy Spirit asks me to ask you, what words have you needed to hear? What words have you always wanted to say? The Holy Spirit here today is wanting to give you the assurance and bring healing into your heart that you might open your heart to Him. Acts chapter 16, Paul was ministering, and in the crowd was a woman by the name of Lydia, a businesswoman. She had a great business selling linen of purple. And the scripture says the Lord, using Paul's words, opened her heart. Opened her heart. And I believe today that God wants to open your heart from the hurts and trials and difficulties that you're facing right now, the uncertainties about your future. I remember several years ago sitting in a counselor's office and having a time of just personal reflection and unloading. And I had a lot going on inside my heart. And I was just, oh man, I just brought a truckload into that office that day. And I began, the counselor said, just go ahead, tell me what's going on. And I began to say a few words. And then the next words out of that counselor's mouth were just simply this: I'm sorry. And so all of a sudden those two words are just what I needed to hear. And then I started unloading a little bit more. And the words came back again: I'm so sorry. And then I unloaded a whole lot more: I'm so sorry. Those were words that day I needed to hear. It wasn't that he was apologizing for me, but he was what? Identifying with where I am and what I had been through. And you see, that's how Jesus is. I'm so sorry this broken world has treated you that way. I'm so sorry that you've experienced that, but open up and tell me more. Because you see, he's a good, loving God who will always always be the same. So what are the words that you've needed to hear? What are the words that you've wanted to say, but you've been mute, you've been deaf, and you have not been able to express or receive? Holy Spirit wants to bring you to that point in time in your life where you too may experience healing and blessing and overflow. He wants to do that for you today. I'd like you to stand with me right now. Worship team, would you come? John chapter 12, Jesus was talking about his life, about how it was going to end. And as he was sharing that story, a crowd was with him. And then all of a sudden the scripture says in John 12, 28, 29, that a voice spoke from heaven and said, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. Plain and simple message. But in the crowd, some said it thundered. And others said an angel spoke to him. I don't know how it is in this room today, whether you think you've just heard a bunch of thunder or if you have heard the voice of heaven calling your name. Whoever you are, how deep your life has been, how sorrowful or how gleeful it has been, has it been all that you've expected it to be? Holy Spirit wants to guide you into the fullness of your life in Christ Jesus. Hear his voice today. Would you bow your head with me? Bow your head with me right now. I just feel like this is the time for us to respond to the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the work that you're doing within us. When we don't know the direction our life is taking, you are the one who guides. We have floundered at times. We have questioned, where's the friendship I've needed? Where is the counselor that I could use right now? Where are those words? Oh God, or where's the, I wish I just had the ability to say what's on my heart. Lord, I just pray an anointing of ability today, a spiritual connection between you and us, between you and every individual heart in this room today, that you speak to us and we will hear. You give us the ability to speak, and we'll proclaim your salvation. We'll proclaim your glory. We'll proclaim your greatness with everything we've got. So, Father, we lift our voices to you. We lift our voices high. Lift your voice with me right now. Just praise him. Say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, thank you for opening my heart. Thank you for opening my ears. Thank you for opening my voice, for giving me a voice. I thank you so much, Lord, for putting things in order. Thank you for bringing this all together. Thank you for the allowance of your grace upon my life. In Jesus' name, help us to use our words in the precious name of Jesus. God, thank you so much for the direction you're giving to us. In our daily life, we believe that today is just the beginning of days. That good things are going to erupt out of our prayer closet. That times of prayer like this are going to call upon heaven to release a downpour. Malachi has called us to prove me now, he says. Prove me now and see if I will not open. Open. Open the heavens over you. Open the windows of heaven over your life, over your family, over your health. He wants to give you that assurance. He's doing that right now. Years ago, when I just went to Janesville, Wisconsin, the Lord was doing some things in my life, leading us and directing us, and opportunities for ministry came by, and we decided and felt like it was the Lord's will for us to pastor there in that city. So we agreed to assist and help with a pastor there, and then became the senior pastor. And at that time, I was, God, is this really what you want? And so I really went into a pursuit of God. You know how you do sometimes when just I need answers, need solutions, need to hear that voice, need to hear those words. So one day I rode on my bicycle, went down to Riverside Park. Riverside Park on the Rock River. I parked my bike, and right there by the gate going into the Riverside Park, parked my bike next to this bench, and I sat down by this bench. And let me tell you something. What I'm going to share with you right now, I haven't shared with too many people. But I just feel like it's for you that may be feeling like it just thundered. God gives you signs, and he wants you to walk with him. It happened to me. I was praying there over at this bench overlooking the river, and I'd pray, had my head down. God, I want direction. I want guidance. Show me what you're wanting to do. Or is this the right thing? Is this the direction you want us to go? And onward we prayed. During that prayer, I looked up, raised my head, and much to my surprise, I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was just vortex of air currents. But right here above me was a large opening in a cloudy sky. And it was swirling like this. I kid you not. I was so shocked. I got up on my feet. I was looking for someone to come and witness this with me. And there was nobody there. I didn't have cell phone. This was before. I had a bag phone in my car, but it wouldn't take pictures. But there at that moment, God confirmed something for me. God gave me an assurance of something, an opening. God wants to open the opportunity for you to walk in fullness. Open the prison doors from the life that you have been running from or been hiding. In the name of Jesus, he's going to open this for you. So trust him. Trust him. Give him your life, and he will do the rest as you walk with him to follow after his pattern. Let's worship the Lord before we leave this house today with this song one more time. And if you today would like to receive some personalized prayer, over here in the prayer corner, we're more than happy to pray with you. Thank you for being with us today. God bless you and keep you in his precious name.